And we spoke about last week, we spoke about that he sees that there's an element of where a person lives the world with seeing the Bereshit expressing himself in the world, which he refers to as element of Kedusha. A, and B, he sees it that the Bereshit expressing himself with a message for him, for him. So he sees it as a, that there's a focus on his furthering of his development. So he will, if he sees something negative, he will take it as a message that he needs to address himself, as opposed to use it as an excuse to denigrate somebody else. If he sees something positive, he will look for a lesson for himself. Now, the next the last paragraph on the page, Shemakaris Makoma. He achas hamaylus atar nikdas bam. It's in the mission of us. The Shemakaris Makoma. Person has to know his place. So the Pasuk, the Rosh tells Moshe, the Kahanim should also be Niskadish. So what does it mean? Rashi explains, so they bring Karbonus. So they're going to think, incorrectly so, well, we have a right to proceed beyond everybody else, beyond a certain point, because we are the in with people within. So they cannot rely on their chashivus to allow them to go beyond the limits. The word yiskadoshu means they should stay in the right place. So gam kan geter nifas hakedusha. So we're seeing another facet of the world of kedusha. They should stay in the place which is their place, and they should not go beyond. Now, what does that mean? They want to go further. They'll think based on their chashivas, they're allowed. Will they af megilam the scar of Yosef? Or that they have a right to. Barbelim Hashem, Hashem says, Ki kedusha hidafka lahakris mekayim. Kedusha is to know where you belong. Yes, mukhan lami bi mekayim. And it means to stay in that spot. Vladas. Do not try and create a connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu beyond you. You develop it with an awareness of what, where the right place for you is. So a person leaves his place, is really disconnecting with his reality. And you cannot get true growth when you're disconnected with your true reality. So I understand this paragraph from the following. Maybe there's, I'm putting more to it than what he's really saying. I think I am. But it makes sense to me the following. Without an awareness of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, true awareness of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, it's impossible to talk about a person having a function and having a purpose. Because if the world doesn't have a function and have a purpose, so I don't have a function and have a purpose either. So I'm a blip on this screen of evolution. Whether I'm here is important, not important. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. So the source of the awareness of that I have function and I have purpose and I have a makam meaning a place where I'm supposed to be, is an expression of an awareness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu shining through the Bria. that all the Bria is just a Kadosh Baruch Hu being there. So from that vantage point, having that awareness, so the next step, the logical step is, well, the Baruch Hu created me and put me in my circumstances, with my realities. So that's my place. That's my makom, which means that's the place that I function out. So I need to absorb the lessons that I've had before in the previous paragraphs and place them in context of who I really am. So pretending that I'm somebody that I'm not, it means I'm ignoring where the Rishon put me. So that's a lack of kedusha. But the person living in the world with very aware the Bershom put me, which means he gave me my life circumstances, my upbringing, my financial status, my emotional status, my intelligence level, my exposure level, right, my circumstances of the people around me, etc. That's all given to me by Kadosh Baruch for me to fulfill the purpose that I have. And that's really, so I need to get in touch with who am I to really be aware of what that function and purpose is. So I get exposed to seeing, you know, I go and I see this big tzaddik, you know, see fast, you know, every single day. So I'm going to fast every single day. That's ridiculous. And no shaykhus to you, because that's not your function. I need to, let me be in denial of the fact that I enjoy food. Because big city people don't enjoy food, you know, don't focus on food. But I do enjoy food. Right? So pretending that I'm something that I'm not, it doesn't. That's a total lack of awareness of where I am and what I'm supposed to be doing. The Gresham wants me to work from where I am. But if I take out of the picture, so then I can do whatever I want. So if I want to, you know, stand up, sit down, and spit one thing, I can do that too. So I want to fast every day. I can fast every day. Who cares? So the fact that I Badafka said that that's not acceptable, going beyond my limits is not acceptable, is because at the end of the day, I'm not the foot soldier that I'm supposed to be. So that's what it means. Marcus Mekarma is a tremendous expression of Kedusha, because it represents a real awareness that the Burnish will put me in this spot. So he says in the previous two paragraphs, I should learn. It's not stam, you know, I should, you know, whatever. I should integrate into my reality, knowing who I really am and having awareness of what my mindless and chesronos are and what my function and purpose is. Integrate the lesson that I see by somebody else into myself where it makes sense for me. That's the true picture that he's trying to draw. So his point that last week, he says, like, you know, okay, I should like create some type of chumra for myself. It's not some type of chumra for yourself. We said last week we were going to modify that. It's not just any chumra, but it means I have to. If the brother is exposing me to something, I shouldn't ignore it. That's also part of my of what I am. That's also part of my makom. So the person put me in a place where I had an opportunity to be exposed to people which are in a growth mode beyond me. So I can't ignore that, because the person did it for a reason also. But I then have to integrate it into where I really am. That's what I think you said. Make sense? Yeah? So that's a lot of food for thought. Where he's going is where he's moving more and more towards, okay, let's help you get in touch with you. But he's setting up the picture of how imperative that is, because not shaykh avoid otherwise.
Maybe if someone's in denial who they really are, then how does one get in touch with one's true self?
It's a problem. I'll just tell you a cute mice. The mice of the Kamshul Levitz. He was once by Shavrochus. And they served dessert, they served chocolate mousse. So there's another couple over there. Shmuel Shmuel says, "Nu, get us hair." So he had two big portions of chocolate. Rechav Shmuel didn't become less of a Talmud Chacham because he admitted the fact that he happened to enjoy chocolate mousse. Right? This other person was defining himself of who he is by the fact that he's denying himself chocolate mousse. That's also possible too. Excuse me for being more cynical. I'm not saying you might be right. The point is that even if that story was, that is an issue that we grapple with. We try and make a persona out of ourselves, like, you know, I'm like, you know, and that's not me, really me. The Bereshit was Dafka exposing us to things we, right, so for the point.
With the mice in there, it'd be the same sort of thing. You could go both ways. One, we can see we can enjoy the mousse, you know, there's not a problem with that. And two, you can see that, you know, there's this judgment that we're placing on this guy. He said it's not a human.
Right, again, I
know it's Kasha and Weiss, but I...
No, I said the point, you're right. If I see a person has an Hogenzeit, I should wonder how I can integrate it to my reality. At the same time, I should say, well, what's my reality and what's the true integration for me where I am? But if I try and imitate him, it's not going to do anything. It's the opposite. I have no makom, so then I don't have kedusha. Okay. Mahu Adam Asma. Next page. Okay, so we're working on Adam Asma, the person himself. That's where we're trying to get at. So not that we're coming goof and ruach. We're a combination of the goof and the nesham. Rekobim Mushlamis Adla Hafli. The connection is a tremendously integrated reality. You can't say, oh, that's the Shama. Oh, that's goof. Everything the thing we do is being impacted by all of our reality. When we take them apart, we're dead. So our chayim is the chayim of the harkava of the two together, and the integration and interaction between the parts. That is our chayim. There are three. Ways to focus on the person. There's the goof. The ruach means that he's referred to as the neshama. Mechibur miyacha. We see elements of goof. We see elements of ruach. We see elements of the chibur. Ha'adam atzmoi inenu ha'avchona ha'chalokis el ha'avchonas chibur ha'guf ruach. Again, the automatism is the person, the being, which is the combination of the two. So now from this point on, when we talk about this avoda being a focus towards how it's supposed to impact me, now we know with a little more clarity, what I'm focusing on, the place where the two join. All of our avoda is to, in the crossroads where the two meet, that's where the avoda exists. Now, Ula, Hebrews says, "Soit kamo sula bereni yisbarach." This is a hidden secret of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Terem itzliach ula olam lo itzliach yulun isha lefanech eschidas har kamo. To understand how you can combine the two together, we don't understand. Okay. Well, Kodesh Baruch Hu gila vaafnot v'tribenu es hamida mechaberes ben aksovis v'hanigurim. But the Russian did give us a mira which functions to combine the two. Mira zu hi hadas. That mira is das. Hence, we're going to call the name of the parak das atzmeinu. Okay? So now, what is this word das? Okay. So that's, I'm not sure we're going to finish this piece. Let's see if we can start. So there's Chachma, there's Bina, there's Das. We all know that Chabad stands for Chachma, Bina, Das. So in the steps of the spheres, there's a sphere called Chachma, the next one is called Bina, and then there's this combination which is called Das. How plays out in the series is a big issue. Okay, we're not looking at Kabbalah right now. So, what is Chachma? What is Bina? What is Das? Okay, Chachma is book knowledge, information. So, I get a certain organization, I have Chachma. Bina is that I have a true understanding of it. To the point that I can extrapolate and apply it to other places. So I truly understand the concept behind this principle. I can apply it to here. I'm maven dover mitoch dover. That's what Havana is. He told you verstehe. Do you really understand? So Chochmah is knowledge, Bina is understanding. Right? What's Das? So I saw a marshal for Das. I'm maybe going to say it a little bit overstated again the way he says it. Okay. How many guys? Moby Dick. Right? Okay. You read it
in pieces.
You read the original? Okay. Ever read it in the shortened version?
Wish I did.
Exactly. Okay. Right. The book is this long-winded, meshugana, detailed of. You can take the cliff notes of the book. It's 30 pages long. The book itself is 600 pages. Something like that. Right. You know. So he has a page, and on the page, the whole page is describing the door, the cabin of Captain Ahab's cabin. Right. There's a paragraph on the crack in the window. Like the crack goes here, it goes there, it looks like this, and like this. It's like, you know, that's, why is he being so, you know, read the cliff notes. 20 pages long, you know. So any novel basically you make the cliff notes 20 pages long. So why are the books hundreds of pages long? So there's a fascinating thing that happens when you read a book. I don't know what happens to you, but it happens to me. When I allow myself to read a book, you get absorbed into the book. And you know you need to know what's going to happen next, and you're worried, and you know your heart starts beating, and like, you know, it's a novel, it's a fiction, it never happened. Like, what are you? Like, your heart's beating fast, but what's going to be? You know, like there's nothing to be. So what is that? That the Barsham created a meter where I can connect into this information till it becomes part of myself. That's Das. You don't get that in the cliff notes. It just doesn't do it. But a good writer can draw you in and make you feel that it's, you know, you start you start being Mizdaya, you start, you know, you start being identifying with the characters which are there in the story. You know, and not only in a non-fiction, which is true, but even in a fiction. The Rosh HaKedem Mida, that's the Mida of Das. Mida, the Das is the ability to connect to something else. The problem is we have parts of our body, which are parts of our being, which are functioning in a way which is not optimal in their connection. The goal isn't to take the body, beat it into a pulp, and make it non-functional and just be in a shop. That's not the goal. That'd be malach. The goal is to find the way for the neshama to connect properly into the goof and let the goof add to the neshama what the goof is supposed to add. That is the mitzvah of das. Now, let's say for argument's sake we could do the following, which, you know, he's going to do a little bit like that, but let's say, you know, because we don't know exactly which part is just an expression of the Shama, which part is an expression of the, but let's say we could, for argument's sake, right, we could do that, right? We would take a chart and say, well, I have this type of emotion, that's an Shama type of emotion. That's an Shama part of me talk. I have this type of a situation, reaction, that's a goof reaction. So my correct response is supposed to be, what can I do to allow the neshama to understand what the goof is adding to the picture, that therefore the two of them together can create an understanding of myself and of the realities around me, which is that much greater. That's the void of das. Am I making sense? Yeah? Let's say, for example, so let's say, which is not correct, let's say I would tell you, there are certain people, you see them, so they have a very deep philosophical understanding of something. But there's no emotional connection to it. So you understand that that's not, they're not reacting as human beings to the reality. Because the human being has a strong emotional component. Let's say vice versa. I have a person that has a very strong emotional component without any type of trying to understand what's going on. So again, he's not reacting as a human being. Because a human being has the intellectual part which tries to understand something. So we want you to react to reality with a combination of the understanding and the emotion. But it's not supposed to be there's understanding and there's emotion. Right? You know, and then they're like fighting, you know, like this, that, you know. You want to find a way that you can create this. And that person has that much of the reality is going to be greater than the sum of the parts. That's that. Right? So that's, you know, a person comes and informs me that there's a difficult situation, medical situation. Right? So I need to really truly understand what's going on so that I can react appropriately to that. I say, oh, that's so horrible, and that's all I have. I didn't really react to the situation. I need to understand what's at stake, what are the issues, right? And I need to have a strong emotional component to really relate to the person's emotional pain and concern and fear, where he might be only having an emotional reaction now, not an intellectual reaction. I need to be able to really help him understand it. If I just have the intellectual part, I have the emotional part where I can communicate. But I'm not truly responding as a human being once I have both components. Imagine I have a deep intellectual understanding of what's going on and the challenges and the true fears and the concerns, etc. I have a strong emotional component reacting to it and having the correct emotions under these circumstances. So the two of them enhance each other. I have a greater emotional component, a greater intellectual component. and each one helps the other one understand. Wow, look at the fear, which is there. The emotion helps the intellect understand what the concerns are. Intellect helps the emotions understand what the issues are. And the combination is a true human reaction. True bona fide human reaction to the situation. So then I can say I've connected into the situation. I have das of the situation, and I've connected to reality. I can respond to it properly. Without that, I can't do that. So I need both components. So again, now we just suggested two components. There are more. There, within the emotions, there's emotions of fear, there's emotions of concern for the future, there's emotions of pain, there's emotions of being lost, there's emotions of being alone, and there's all these array of emotions, and intellectual concern, and that's just intellect and emotion. There's also the physical exhaustion. And there's all that comes together to create the reality of a true human experience. That's the more I can bring all the things together to truly understand, I've connected to the reality. That's the beauty of it. Okay, let's hold it here.